Today's daf is daf lamed dalet. We're holding in the explanation of the Mishnah of machzirlo avedato. And remember that the Mishnah simply gives a list of things that it's mutter to do. Clearly, the simple reading of the Mishnah tells us that if one individual is not supposed to be the source of benefit to another, nonetheless, he can give him back his avedah. But if you take a look at the context of the Mishnah, there's a whole list of things. There's a shokelet shiklo, koreat chovo. So the things are clearly referring to items that are being given by the one who is not supposed to give the benefit to the one who is usher in deriving the benefit. So we took for granted until now that the meaning of returning the avedah certainly means that the one who is not supposed to be giving benefit is not considered to be giving benefit by returning the guy's own thing. Yesterday we found that there's a machlokus about whether perhaps the Mishnah even includes the opposite case, in which the one who is not supposed to be getting the benefit is the one who's returning the aveda, and whether perhaps he might be usher, indeed, strangely enough, in returning the aveda, right, because of Pruta de Rav Yosef. Since he's deriving the benefit from this guy's aveda, that he becomes a Shomer Socher, Aliba de Rav Yosef, so on the simple level, being a Shomer Socher is a Hana'a, the same way it's considered to be payment to be the Shomer, it must be considered to be beneficial.
Other than the idea that Osek of Mitzvah.
No, that is the Indian of Osir Mitzvah. That is Pruta de Rav Yosef. He'd be willing to pay that Pruta. Exactly. And since he doesn't.
For the exemption.
So that itself is worth money. Since it's worth money, it's considered to be a derivation of Hana'ah. Why indeed would it be Mutter? If you hold according to the Man Yom, the Mishnah is only referring to one case, where the one who's returning the Aveda is not the one who is Usur Ba'ana, it's the recipient who's Usur Ba'ana. Because he holds, although it's considered to be Ana'a as a policy, to Shomer Socher is in terms of the entirety of your Shmirah, so we look at it as having value, but in terms of having actual benefit, that to say that it's, I've given you something that you've enjoyed, it's too rare of an occurrence to say, oh, I feel like a new man. There's no enjoyment. So it's possible to have something which is sachar in view of the dinim of Shomer Socher, but which is not considered a direct hana'a. Okay? That was yesterday.
So my problem is, if it's just the hana'a that you don't have to pay that thing, but what I'm saying is that you would pay a pruta for that.
Yeah, but you weren't about to do that.
In other words, saying it's not worth a pruta.
No, we're saying you didn't gain anything. Because it's not the actual transference of something to you that's considered to be hana'a that we already saw. Getting back your own thing, getting a deal that somebody's paying you for when it's not such a great deal that you're selling. So in other words, these are viewed as generic issues. Did I get anything from you? Did I feel any benefit from you? No. It's not shkiach enough. I don't look at it as good. You're telling me, but technically you're a shomer socher. Fine. But I mean, I certainly don't feel I owe you anything, you know? Well, thank you very much for your benefits. Okay, that's the guy's attitude. So, in terms of Isuri Hana'af for Neder, this doesn't register.
Remember, by Kedushin, we say a woman who gives money to a man could be Makodesh, but they know she gets it.
But that's true of Mavriachari also. See, the whole thing is not the same. You're talking about the technical. Obviously, the guy says, Be'ahi Hana'ah, that you would pay me a nickel to talk this guy out of bothering you, I'm a Kedushin. It's certainly a good Kedushin. Right, but that doesn't mean that according to Hanan, it's considered to be Hanan. There's two issues over here. Okay. That's the way we learned yesterday. In the event that the Mishnah indeed was referring to two different cases, where one case where the recipient of the Aveda is not supposed to be deriving the Hanan, the other case where the returner of the Aveda is not supposed to give an Hanan, we had a little bit of a problem. How do you explain the fact that the Mishnah adds that if it's a place where you're supposed to be paid for returning the Aveda, then you would have to give that payment to Hegdash. What in the world is that supposed to mean? Bishleim, but to say that it means where the recipient wasn't supposed to get Hana'ah, and the returner of the Aveda refused to accept payment. Okay, I understand that. That would be indeed a direct hana'a, and that would he wouldn't be allowed to keep it. He'd have to pay what he would have paid to the returner. He'd have to donate to charity. Fine. But the other way around? What are you saying? That I, who am returning it, I'm allowed to return it, and if I'm supposed to be paid, then we'll have to throw it out. Why will we have to throw it out? The way the Ron understands it. Why will we have to throw it out? Pay it. It's no different than a sale. It's like anything else. The fact that I get money doesn't mean it's anah from you. It's a generic anah. I lost money replacing the money. What does that have to do with you? That's how the Ran understands it. The Ran's Rabbein, remember, understood it as just let him keep it and not pay it. But what's he's not also to derive benefit from it. So why can't he just keep it? Why does he have to give it to charity? Okay, those were the two approaches we had. Okay. So the Melech Gemara answered, look, the Mishnah doesn't have to be consistently referred to two cases. Any fool understands that if the words Yipol Anala Hegdash do not apply to both cases, it applies to the appropriate case. It clearly could only apply to the case where the recipient of the Avedah is not supposed to be getting Anah. Here he's getting a free return that he actually should have paid for. Okay. Today, very surprisingly, we have another take on the whole story that makes opposite assumptions across the board about how to understand the Mishnah. And we have today, in the middle of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Ikad Amatin La Bahai Lishan. There are some who report the entire discussion of yesterday is in the following fashion. Pligi Barabami Barabasi, same outlook as Rabami Barabasi. But over here, we take the opposite for granted. The only time that we're saying over here that you're allowed to return the Aveda is where the returner is not supposed to be deriving benefit from the owner of the Aveda. And the Chiddush that the Mishnah is saying, why are you allowed to return it? I, it's also Mishnah Prutah Rav Yosef. No, Prutah Rav Yosef is Lo Shchiyah. But the other way around, where the returnee, the owner of the Avedah, is not supposed to be deriving benefit from the returner, how can I give him back his Avedah? I'm handing him over something. I'm doing him this vast favor. He didn't have his wallet, and now he has his wallet. What could be a greater pleasure than getting back what you thought was gone? And so, in a case with a Nifse Maxir, or a Serena Bala Avedah, of course, the Mishnah never meant to say that you could actually give him back his wallet. The bottom line is, he's certainly getting a tremendous ana'ah, which is far beyond the simple value of the return. So that I could pay for. In other words, the give and take that you took to Tircha. But gosh, you made me the happiest man in the world today. So how can I possibly give him that ana'ah? So how would you understand that in the Mishnah? And obviously the list in the Mishnah is not talking about a case where the one who is the mutarbana is giving something to the other guy. No, it's Parea lo atchovo. Parea lo atchovo can only be with the one who is usher. Okay. So the Ran says, look, obviously the Mishnah is going to be talking about two different things. In other words, where we're saying that you're allowed to be Porea Chovo, where you're allowed to give the shekel for him, that of course means I can give back to the person that was not supposed to derive benefit from me. But where it talks about you're allowed to give him back as Avedah, that's talking about the other case, where I'm not allowed to derive benefit from the person that I'm returning it to, and the problem over here is Prutah Rav Yosef. You see? That's what it's coming down to. Okay. How is that? Because the Mishnah basically wants to discuss all the interrelationships between a Madir and a Mudar. I mean, how else can we understand it, says the Ran? I mean, you can't take one case totally out of context. It's not the same as the other cases. And the point of the Mishnah is, well, what is the intercourse between these two individuals? So, okay, so we say, in terms of shekel, loans, truma, which we'll see, then the one who is the one who is Osir to give Hana'ah to the other guy has no problem. In the Avedah, the one who's also in deriving the benefit has no problem. Good. So the other Badi Omer says, no, actually, it works in either case. Chanomar afilu nifseha makzira surina ba'ala veda. Even in the other case, where it's the other way around, he could still be mahadalai. He's allowed to give him back his aveda, even where the bala aveda is not supposed to be deriving on the ah. Dechi mahadalai mina d'nafshika mahadalai. Look, he's only getting back his own thing. And as far as the fact that it's the other person who was the agency of his pleasure, that other person's relationship is not to the pleasure of the recipient. It's simply him doing a mitzvah, and this is ancillary pleasure to what he did. So in that sense, it's a generic act. I got it back. How did you get it back? A Jew did a mitzvah. Wasn't that the guy that was also to be a me? He's being behind me. He's being Isaac and Elam Abba. I happen to have gotten a fallout from it. Fine. So according to this, the Mishnah would be referring to two cases. Aha. If the Mishnah is referring to two cases, now we have the problem once again that we had yesterday. So tonight. Makom shenot limale asachar tipalana lehegdesh. I mean, it's much worse today. Because, you see, if you say that the Mishnah is talking about that I'm allowed to return it to the Baal HaVeid, at least it's including that case. So then I can explain how it says tipalana lehegdesh, because the Baal HaVeid is getting hana'ah from me if I refuse to be paid for my losses. That makes sense, but if you said that's the one case you can't do, that's much worse than the case we had yesterday. See, in the inverse. Yesterday, if we had two cases, we had a problem. Today, if we have two cases, we have a solution, because at least then we could say that the case is referring to one of the two. But if you hold only one case, it's the wrong case. The one case that you're saying the Mishnah is referring to in this version that I'm allowed to do is where I am the one, the returner, I'm returning his aveda. I'm not supposed to be getting hana'ah from him. So what are you telling me? Then that's the only case. The other case, I'm not allowed to give it back. So what are you telling me? That if I'm supposed to be paid, you pull on ala hegdesh. Well, why is that? Well, what's the case? Why would it be you pull on ala hegdesh? I thought that was the whole point. Is that either the way the Ron's Rabbein learned, just keep the money, the other guy, the Baal HaVeid, or what's the problem in paying somebody? If he had losses, it's a generic payment. It's like buying and selling. That's not called hana'ah. So therefore, there's not even one case that the Mishnah could be referring to in this Lashon when it says, Yipol hana'ala hekesh. How are you going to explain it? So, Laman diyama, that Ella, let's see that inside. So, tell me that the Mishnah includes, even in a case where the recipient is prohibited from getting hana'ah, nonetheless, I'm allowed to give it back to him, Mahadir. So that at least explains, so Haina the Mitaritzle, that will explain Makom, unquote. El Lamandi Omar, the Nishanichse Magzira Surin, and in the case with the Baal HaVeid is not supposed to drive on now, you can't give it, Lo Mahadir, then there's not even one case to explain, quote, Makom, etc., unquote. Zehi mitaritz bakom. Kasha, that's a bad one. There, indeed, we are left with without any recourse. What are we supposed to do with the Mishnah? Omar Rava. Now, this mimer of Rava is an introduction. It's not directly nogeya ar sugya. It's an introduction to the question that is about to be raised by Rav Chiya bar Rava. So it gives us the background, what set off Rav Chiya bar Rava to think about his question. So Rava, talking about a completely different issue, Rava said like this, Haitalef anav kikar shel hefker. A guy sees a kikar of hefker, it's within his arba amot. Now normally, if a person wishes, or even if he does not express a wish, to be painted something from hefker within his arba amot, he would be kainet. That's item number one. Item number two that we need to have as a background to understanding this is that the din of me'ila behekesh will only apply when you actually derive the benefit from hekesh, or where you pick up the thing from hekesh and you konet, thereby removing it from the rishus of hekesh into your rishus, and then you're chayev me'ila. Okay. Three. We also have to recognize that in cases where the level of hana'a is the me'ila, rather than the removal from the mokum of hekdesh, the hana'a is paid according to the value of the hana'a, not necessarily according to the value of the chafetz. Because you haven't removed the chafetz, we're not dealing with the chafetz, we're dealing with you getting benefit from hekdesh. The next piece that's very important to understand is that in the event that something of hekdesh is in your rishus anyway, let's say you're the gizbar, or let's say you own something, it's in your yard, and you make it a hekdesh. Now you say, no, I'm going to keep it. You're not mo'il, because it was always in your yard. Nothing has changed. Until such time as it actually left your rishus to went into the rishus of hekdesh, you're basically like the gizbar. You're keeping it for hekdesh. It would physically, unless you use it, of course. But if you don't use it, you just say, no, you know what, I decided I'm going to steal it. Or you pick it up. Pick it up. What's the difference if you pick it up or it was lying in your yard? You haven't changed the rishus at all. Therefore, in the case where you act as a gizbar, even as a temporary holder, in order to bring something for hekdesh, there's no way for you to be mail on it unless you physically remove it from your rishus, put it somewhere else, and then go and take it. Or, if you actually use it, for whatever you use. Now, given those four pieces of information, we can now proceed to understand what Rav is saying. Rav is telling us like this. Even though normally you would be kind of something from Hefker when it gets into your Arba Amas, if you specifically intend that the Kinyan that you would have been able to have should accrue to someone or some other Rishus, then you will not get it. Rather, it will go into that Rishus. So the same way that if I see, let's say, a beautiful jar that holds some liquor, let's say some Jack Daniels. Now, I wouldn't want to be kind of that, of course, but I say, I want to be kind of that for Richie. Okay, so then it becomes Richie's. Now, by the same token, if I say, I want that to be hekdesh, so then when I get in that Arba Amas, it goes to hekdesh. In that case, if I pick it up to take it, so then I would be my own. Because until now I was in hekdesh, I never had it. So now comes on Rav and says like that. If we're talking about not that it's in your rishus, it's hefker. So you see a kikar shel hefker. You say kikar zu hekdesh. Fine. So then the moment you pick it up to eat it, you didn't eat it, you just picked it up to eat it. But that means that your intent was to keep it. If your intent was to keep it, so then ma'al lefi kula. You were just male in the whole thing. Why? Like any other case where you take something out of the rishus of hekdesh. Until now it was lying outdoors and it belonged to hekdesh. You pick it up to take it into your rishus. Your yadayim, take it to yourself. That's a standard case of the ila. But what's interesting is that if you pick it up lahorisha libana, you're not picking it up in order to be kainah. You're saying, look, I know it's hekdesh, I can't be kainah. But when I die, my kids won't know it's hekdesh. They'll think I've left them this wonderful Yerusha. So then that means that this is worth its ultimate value in hana'a. The kids will know that you care to leave them something for Yerusha. So you weren't kainah for yourself. You're just hiding it, basically. So in that case, you're mayo, but you're mayo only lafito vatana'a, whatever the value is of your children's believing that you care about leaving them something.
But you actually cause them to be over using hekdesh.
Well, you're not that religious a dad. You're just a good dad.
See, that's all.
Okay, but that's worth a certain amount of ana'a. Good. Now, it's still hekdesh, but they won't know. They wouldn't know it's hekdesh, but they would know that daddy cares.
Amen.
So now, given this information, comes along now Reb Chiya Bar Avin, and there's certain similarities in the case of Reb Chiya Bar Avin to this case of Rava. Because here we're talking about he was magdish it, and then he takes it. Right? Now, what would be the din, says Reb Chiya bar Avi, in a case where somebody assers a kikar on a person and then gives it to that person. So a person says, kikri alech, my loaf of bread is aser on you. And then, just like over here, the guy said, this is hegdish. That's it. Granted, it's a rather weak comparison, but it got him thinking, you know, your mind wanders, it's general patterns. Okay. So he says, my kikar is aser on you, and then he gives it to him as a gift. Now, when you say my kikar, do you mean so long as it is mine, but as soon as it becomes yours, of course, I'm not asering it on you. So kikri amalo, which means ki'ite berishute, only so long as it's in my property, it's considered to be asur. Odilma, or did he say, look, alecha, means alecha is that it's prohibited on you, so iluye shivite hegdash, on that person I am making this kikar hegdash, even if I give it to him. So Rav, now, the truth is, if somebody else would have bought that kikar, then indeed, if it's never going to come from me to the other person, I can aser it on him. It's somebody else's kikar. But the fact that I would give him the kikar directly, that could mean that I meant to aser that. Omar Leib Pshita says, Rav, obviously, it's aser even though I give it to him for a gift. Why else did he say alecha anyway? Kikri alecha lafuke mai. What do you think the guy was telling you? What? I mean, you don't want to give it to him. It's yours. Don't give it to him. What do you have to make it aser about? Nuh-uh. So, elamai, what, you're afraid the guy's going to steal it from you? You really think that's the issue? He's going to take it from me, b'keach. So I'm afraid I'm going to get held up. So I'm telling the guy, you should know it's not going to help you to hold me up because this thing is aser anyway. I mean, come on, the guy, is that really the case? The guy thinks maybe he's going to get held up. So my lafuke, take out that lafuke dinganva, I mean, what do you think it's about? He's trying to tell him that if you steal it from me, it ain't going to help you. Oh, my lady, why are we going to such extremes today? Why can't it mean that this guy has been bothering him, wants to eat in his house? So he says, well, it wouldn't help you much for me to invite you because my food is aser on you. So maybe it means the asminei Allah. But if I give it to you already, fine, I give it to you. I said, as long as it's my rishus, I just don't want you sitting at my table. So maybe that's the point. Ask the Gemara on Rava's simple solutions. Is that so simple? Amalo hashileni paratcha. Listen, do me a favor. Lend me your cow. Your plowing for whatever. Oh, my lo. Oh, this is not a there's a lot of gersos. The gersa hashileni paratcha hapinuya. You're not using, you're not making any use of that parah anyway. What do you care? Lend it to me. I'll take care of it for you. Meanwhile, I'll be able to use it. Omar lo, so he says, are you kidding? Konim parah sha'ani kanui lecha, or konim nechasai alecha im yesh li parah elazo. What do you mean it's not doing anything? This is the only parah that I own. And if I own another parah, then everything I own should be asur on you, or my para should be asur on you. Now, it turns out that he does have another para. Or the guy says, lend me your hammer, it ain't doing anything anyway. He says, are you kidding? This is the only hammer I own. Konim kardo bakonu ishiyeshli. And where the chasai should all be asur on me, or you, our gears is a lie. I asur everything on myself. If I have anything else, if I have another one. So then as long as it turns out he has another one in these cases. So as long as he's alive, it's awesome. But if he dies, mate, oh, and here's the important word, shenat nalo batana. He gives it to him as a gift. Now, according to Rava, hello.
Hello.
Earth calling. Listen, Virgin Galaxy just unveiled its new spacecraft. You're looking for a vacation, Richie?
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. This is it. That should keep you going for a while.
The moon.
Can we come down to earth though for a moment? Yeah, that's great. Okay. So according to Rava, I thought if you give it to a guy as a gift, that was the whole point. You said, it's also, I don't need to tell you it's also, if you don't want to give it to me, just don't give it to me. We're making such a big deal. So you see from here that it's not so posh that people indeed will say something like this because they're sick and tired of people driving them crazy, not because it served it. You're right. I could just say no, okay? It's hard just to say no. So I want to make a point of it. Just stop bothering me. So you see that? No. This is serious. I'm sick and tired of you. You're asking me to borrow. One day it's your hammer. The next day it's your saw. What's it going to be next?
So all of my stuff is usher to you?
If I have another one. What do you think? I'm sitting on a fryer over here. I got 15 sets of tools. So you see from here that it's not so partial. A person does usher other people, only insofar as it belongs to him. If he gives it to him, there's no problem. He didn't say that lashon lafuke that I can't give it to you. So I should not know about matana, reze mutar. What's Rava going to say about this? Omer of Acha, the Raider of Ika. It's not talking about over here that he gave it to him, the matana. It's talking about that somebody else bought it, and that person gave it to him, the matana. So in that case, as we said before, if someone else is mafsik, the ownership. What? Surely you just, you need a diagram for this? It's not exactly beautiful minds.
There's three people now, not two people?
That's right. There's suddenly three people. A new person got in the middle, bought this, and now gave it to the person who always wanted that hammer. Gave it to him as a gift. It makes much more sense if we talk about books. Now, in our terms, I'm sick and tired of your borrowing. Because I have half my bookshelves have Barnea's name on it.
Rebbe has the book now for 40 years. Professor.
40 years?
The biology book Rebbe borrowed from Sternberg.
Oh, not a biology book. It's a calculus book. Yes, it's 40 years. But no, I think I actually returned it to him last time he came. Really?
Yeah.
Then I told something changed. I told him about it. I mean, something
yes,
changed.
Totally. Yeah.
And anyway, it would be 45 years now. Yes. So, therefore, if it's talking about that somebody else gave it to him, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Because indeed, if someone else gets in the middle, then, of course, you're able to be nenah from it. The only case we're talking about over here is where he would give it to him directly. And not only that, it's a very interesting Gemara. Because Omer of Ashi, look at this. Aren't. This is better than an average egged bus. Amar Avashi Deka Nami Diktani Shinit Lalo Volokatani Shinat Nalo. Now how the heck does he know? Says the Ran, they had a Kabbalah about how to pronounce prices. And the Kabbalah was to pronounce this with a chirik. Shinit Nalo b'matana. Why do you think it said Shinit Nalo b'matana? Instead of shenatano ta shenatna lo b'matana, it was referring to a third party who now was the agency, of the gift. And in that case, Rava also never suggested it would be us. It was only there to prevent me giving him the gift. There's another ikedematzla v'haylishna. Pligi bar rabami v'rabasi charamalo shalom b'shinichse ba'al ha'avida asurin ala ma'zir. And the kiddush of the Mishnah is b'shum prutin Rav Yosef. The reason it's mutter is because of Moshiach. Aval nichse ha'ma'zir asurin ba'al ha'avida. How can you be ma'anem by giving him his wallet? Lo ma'ade le mishum edekom ha'anele. V'kadomer, even in that case, with the nichse ma'zir asurin ala ba'al ha'avida, nonetheless ma'ade le and it's mutter. Now, the Mishnah continues on with the words "Bakom shenot in alei asachar." Tipol hana ala hegdesh. The Bishlam Ilamad Yomrafi Lubashidir say Magziratsurna ba'ala veda mahadele. If you're at least include a case where these words make sense, tipol hana ala hegdesh, which is where the returner is going to be mahana now, the ba'ala veda, by refusing to accept payment. So I need a commentary to makom. Ilamad Yomrafi, the only case is the other case, but in a case when the Nifse Magziratsurin, it's not allowed to be mahadele. So where the heck would it ever be? No fell on Allah. The Shekhem Taretz Bokom Kasha. Omar Rava, I tell if anav kikar shelef ker. The Amar kikar zo hekdesh. So if he's not Allah loch la ma'al, there it's ma'al afikula, because we removed it from the Rishus of Hekdesh. But if there was no da'at to be konit, and he takes it lahori shalav anav, so then he's ma'al only lafito batana asheba. How about if a guy says kikri alecha when the tanalo b'matana mal kikri amalo, which means dafke ki tegrushuteu the aser? Oh, the omar, if he's bothering to say alecha, then obviously he's saying aluye shivite egdesh. Oh my, well pshita daf agav the other matana aser. What else do you think he was saying? Ela kikri alecha lafuke mai. What lafuke di ganva minay mignav? That's absurd. Amalei, no. What's so absurd? Why can't it be lafuki di yazmanei alei? Eisvei against Rava. Amalei shilein paratcha. Amalei konim parasha anui kanui lecha or lechasei alecha. Im yeshli para acher alazu. Ashileini kardum chamalo. Konim kardum shiyeshli shanui kanui. If I got another one, or lechasei alei. If according to this Girsa or Alecha, probably is correct Girsa, parallel the Resha, im yeshli kardom elazo, v'nimtza sheyeshlo. So bechayav asur, because he said li nechasai, but achar moto, it's no longer his, it's no longer nechasai, and then areza mutar. What's Rava going to do? Om Ravacha b'rei Ravika. Rava will say it's talking about shenitnolo ayadei acher. Om Ravashi, by the way, the language itself supports that. Dekanani, diktani shenitnalo, velo katani shenatnalo.